Usually when you hear a word like placement, you think of something completely ordinary, like a college student finally getting a summer internship.
Right, yeah, or maybe finding the right spot for a new couch in your living room. It sounds very structured.
Exactly. It sounds like a very normal, safe, administrative word.
It does. I mean, it sounds like something that just fits neatly into a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
A very simple problem with a very simple solution.
But then, you are standing in a fluorescent lit hospital hallway. Your mother has just had a terrible fall, and a discharge planner looks at her chart, looks up at you, and uses that exact word, placement.
Oh man, and suddenly your stomach just drops.
Yeah, because the whole meaning just shifted entirely. It is not about an internship anymore. It is about where your parent is actually going to live because they simply cannot go home safely.
And that is the exact moment when the abstract idea of aging suddenly becomes this immediate physical crisis. The safety net you thought was always going to be there just vanishes.
And if you are listening to this right now, we know exactly where you might be sitting. As editors for California Care Compass, we talk to so many people in your exact shoes.
We really do, all the time.
You are probably sitting at your kitchen table. It is 11 o'clock at night. The rest of the house is quiet, but your mind is just racing. Like maybe you noticed your parent left the stove on for hours yesterday.
Yeah. Or maybe your dad looked right at you and called you by your uncle's name, and, well, your uncle has been gone for 20 years.
And now you have your laptop open. You are staring at a browser with 20 different tabs, searching for assisted living costs in California. You are looking at the numbers on the screen, and you are feeling genuinely sick with worry because those private pay costs, they are astronomical.
They are staggering, yeah.
Because, I mean, you love your parent fiercely, you want them to be safe, but you also work a demanding job. You also have your own kids to raise. You also have not slept a full night in a week.
Which is completely understandable. It really is.
Right. And somewhere in those terrifying search results, you saw three words that sounded like a lifeline, three words that sounded like a heavy door just cracking open. Assisted living waiver.
But of course, because it is healthcare, the state uses dense phrases like facility participation and care coordination agency to describe it.
Yeah, it is enough to make you want to close the laptop entirely.
It really is. We
Yeah.
completely understand that feeling. And today, well, this deep dive is entirely about opening that specific door. We are going to calmly walk through what the waiver is, who it is actually for, and why it
And
exists.
we will explain the waitlist, right? Because that is the part nobody ever warns you about.
Exactly. The waitlist is huge. And most importantly, we will tell you what you can actually do this week, straight from your kitchen table, to start the process.
Because our mission is to break this down into plain English so you can understand your options without the panic. So let us start with the fundamentals. If I am staring at this overwhelming system, what exactly is this waiver?
So the assisted living waiver, which you will hear called the ALW, is fundamentally a medical program. That is the first and most vital piece of the puzzle. It lives entirely inside California's Medicaid system.
Okay, got it.
And it is administered from the top down by the California Department of Healthcare Services, or the DHCS.
Okay, let us unpack this because the history of how medical works actually makes the current system make a lot more sense.
It really does.
If you picture the long-term care system historically, it was basically a staircase that was completely missing the middle step. If your parent needed care, you either stayed at the bottom step, which meant staying in your own home.
Right.
Or if things got bad, you had to jump all the way to the top step, which was a clinical skilled nursing home.
And that gap was massive. Medicare has historically paid for that top step, a nursing home. And medical would also pay for some care on that bottom step, keeping you in your own home. But that middle place was empty.
Assisted living, right?
Exactly. Assisted living, a residential facility where your parent has their own room, eats meals in a dining room, gets help with bathing, but is not living in an institution. That middle place has almost always been strictly private pay.
Meaning families either wrote massive personal checks every single month, or they simply did not get to use that middle step at all. But looking at the state's budget, I mean, they cannot just offer subsidized assisted living to anyone who wants to downsize. How did this middle step actually get built?
Well, the state had to go to the federal government, specifically the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which we call CMS. California asked CMS for a special waiver.
And a waiver is what exactly?
A waiver is just a federal mechanism that lets a state take Medicaid dollars and use them in a non-standard way. They asked for permission to use medical dollars to pay for assisted living instead of a nursing home.
Oh, I see. So the state is basically making a financial deal with the federal government. They are saying, if we are going to spend Medicaid dollars on this person's care anyway, and they would be safer and happier in assisted living than in a clinical nursing facility, let us spend the money in the community instead.
Exactly. And the California Department of Aging, the CDA, actually tracks this whole philosophy. It is part of a broader push to provide care outside of institutions.
Because it is cheaper. Right.
Yes, it is less expensive for the state in the long run, and it provides a much better quality of life for the person needing care. When you understand that the waiver exists strictly to divert people away from nursing homes, you understand why the rules feel so rigid.
Which brings up a huge point of confusion for families. I am looking at these requirements and thinking about, say, my own dad. Let us say he needs help with his pills and meals, maybe some light reminders, but he can walk fine and hold a conversation. Are you telling me the state would look at him and say he does not qualify for this waiver?
Yes. Unfortunately, that is exactly what the state would say.
Hey, really?
Really. This is not a general housing subsidy for any senior who prefers not to live alone, because this is not a simple application form. There are three very distinct gates of eligibility you have to clear, and they are intentionally difficult.
Okay, let us walk through those three gates. What is the very first hurdle?
The first gate is entirely financial and administrative. Your parent must be eligible for full-scope medical, not a partial plan, not emergency-only coverage. Full scope.
Got it.
If your parent is already enrolled in medical, you have successfully passed this first gate. If they are not, that is its own separate application process handled through your county's medical office. That application has to happen first, or at the very least, in parallel with the waiver process.
And anyone who has dealt with county paperwork knows that a loan can take months.
Oh, absolutely.
But let us say you get through gate one. Gate number two is all about age and clinical care need. The waiver is for adults over 21, though obviously mostly older adults use it. But the care need is the tricky part. Your parent has to be officially assessed as needing a nursing facility level of care. How does the state actually decide that?
That is a very specific clinical determination. It is not made by you, and it is not made by the staff at the assisted living facility either.
Who does it then?
It is made by a contracted care coordination agency. They send a nurse or a social worker to evaluate how much help your parent needs with the activities of daily living. Things like transferring from a bed to a chair safely, using the toilet, bathing, dressing, and eating.
So it is very physical.
Mostly, yes, but they also look closely at cognitive needs, like whether dementia is causing dangerous wandering. So back to my example.
Right.
A parent who just needs light supervision is not going to clear this gate. They won't. The agency is looking for significant documentable need. A parent who cannot safely be left alone for any period, who has had repeated falls, who has moderate to advanced dementia, or who has complex medical needs.
So really high-level care.
Exactly. Those are the profiles of individuals who clear the second gate. The state has to definitively prove to the federal government that it is redirecting nursing home eligible patients. They keep the gates tightly locked to anyone who does not fit that exact profile.
Okay, so you have Medi-Cal, you have the high-level care need, you arrive at gate number three, the setting itself, the physical building, because the ALW pays for care in very specific kinds of places, mostly residential care facilities for the elderly.
Right, and that is just California's official term for licensed assisted living.
But the critical detail here is that the specific facility must be enrolled in the ALW program with the DHCS. Not every beautiful building in your zip code participates.
And this is where families get completely heartbroken.
I can imagine. You tour a gorgeous assisted living facility. The staff is incredibly warm. There is a beautiful fountain in the courtyard. You start picturing your mom sitting there drinking tea. You fall in love with the place. And then you finally ask the question, and the director says, no, we do not take the waiver.
It happens all the time.
Why would a facility choose not to take guaranteed state money?
To understand why a facility says no, you have to look at the financial reality of the waiver. What it actually pays for, and crucially, what it refuses to pay for.
So what does this all mean? Let us get into the exact mechanics of the money.
So the ALW pays for the care services happening inside the facility. It pays for the physical help with bathing, dressing, medication management, meal preparation, and constant supervision.
Okay, that sounds comprehensive.
It is. It also pays for a dedicated care coordinator who manages your parents' care plan. And it includes nursing services that go beyond typical assisted living, like complex wound care.
But there's a massive exception that completely shocks families. The waiver does not pay for room and board. It does not pay the rent.
Correct. Federal Medicaid rules generally prevent Medicaid dollars from covering basic rent and food in an assisted living facility.
Wait, really? None of it?
None of it. The federal funds are strictly for the medical and personal care side of the equation.
I can hear families listening to this and just panicking right now. If Medi-Cal does not pay the rent, how on earth do families manage that room and board cost without going bankrupt? The whole point of this was that we could not afford the private pay cost.
Well, California protects families by placing a strict cap on what a participating facility is legally allowed to charge an ALW resident for room and board. The state ties that capped amount directly to the supplemental security income payment level.
Okay, so there's a limit.
Yes. So in practice, for most enrollees, their monthly Social Security or SSI check goes directly to the facility to cover the rent and food, and Medi-Cal steps in to pay for all the heavy care.
But let us play this out in reality. What if a parent's Social Security check is very small? What if it does not even meet that capped rate the facility is allowed to charge? How does a family practically patch that gap?
That is the incredibly stressful part. If the resident's income does not cover that capped room and board rate, the family often has to find a way to supplement it out of pocket just to meet the basic rent requirement.
Oh, wow. So you still have to pay.
Yeah, the math can be incredibly tight. And frankly, this exact financial structure is the primary reason why many beautiful facilities simply choose not to participate in the program.
Because the business model just does not work for them. If a facility can charge a private paying family a massive amount for rent, why would they accept a resident where the rent is strictly capped by the state at a much lower rate?
Exactly. Participating in the ALW is voluntary for these facilities. Many of them decide the capped room and board rate simply does not cover their overhead costs for the building, the food, and the amenities.
So that is why checking the participating facility list is the very first thing you do, not the last thing you do after a tour.
Absolutely. Do not fall in love with the building until you verify they take the waiver.
And just to clarify, what about regular doctor visits and prescriptions? Are those rolled into this waiver too?
No, those continue to be covered separately by your parents' regular medical coverage. The ALW simply sits on top of their existing benefits, specifically paying for the residential care piece.
Okay, so understanding that financial structure is crucial. You have to find a facility that plays ball. But the truth is, the money and the facility do not matter at all if you cannot actually get a spot when you need it.
That is the hardest truth of all.
We have to talk about the wait list, because this is the part that breaks people.
The wait list is the single hardest reality about the assisted living waiver. The program has had a wait list for years. Demand consistently and vastly outruns the number of funded slots the state is authorized to provide.
So what is the timeline like?
You apply, you get assessed, you get put on the wait list, and then you wait.
So if the waiver is the destination and we know we cannot get there by Monday, how do families actually survive the wait? What is the stopgap? Because if my mom is being discharged from the hospital on Friday, I mean, I need a plan right now.
It is absolutely not a same week solution. The wait can be many months. Slots only open up when someone currently in the program leaves, either because they required a higher level of care or they passed away.
Right.
The DHCS is constantly working to add capacity, but the math is stubborn. So families really have to build a bridge plan.
And what does a successful bridge plan actually look like in the real world?
Well, we heard from one family navigating this exact crisis. Their mother had a severe fall and could not return to her second-story apartment. They started the ALW application immediately, but they knew they had a six-month wait.
That is a long time.
It is. So their bridge started with a short-term rehab stay in a skilled nursing facility. That stay was fully covered by traditional Medicare, overseen by CMS. That bought them a few weeks of clinical recovery time while they figured out the next step.
But Medicare rehab only lasts so long. Once she plateaued physically, Medicare stopped paying. What happens then?
Then the family had to make a really tough choice. They pooled their savings and paid completely out of pocket for a temporary stay in a private assisted living facility for 2 months. It was a massive financial strain.
Oh, I bet. And what happened when the money ran out?
When the money ran out, they had to bring her into the daughter's home.
And how did the daughter manage that while working? I mean, that sounds impossible.
They relied heavily on in-home supportive services, which is run by the California Department of Social Services, or the CDSS. They got approved for paid caregiver hours during the workday.
Okay, so there is some help.
Yeah, but the daughter and her husband still had to fill in the gaps on nights and weekends. They lived in that exhausting cycle for 3 more months until their spot on the ALW waitlist finally opened up.
That sounds grueling. Is the waitlist just a single massive line that everyone stands in?
Well, there is one major exception. If your parent is currently living in a skilled nursing facility and wants to move out into assisted living, there is a special transition pathway.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the program actively prioritizes moving people out of clinical institutions. The waitlist dynamics are completely different for transition cases, so you must explicitly ask the care coordination agency about that pathway if your parent is currently in a nursing home.
Because the waitlist is such a heavy reality, and because your parent might not even pass the clinical assessment, you absolutely need to know the rest of the map. You need a backup plan. What else does the state offer if the waiver just does not work out?
The safety net does exist. We just mentioned in-home supportive services overseen by the CDSS. That is a massive program that pays for caregivers to come into the home.
And what many people do not realize is that in many cases, a family member can actually become the paid caregiver under this program.
Yes, exactly. That is a huge relief for families who have had to quit their jobs to provide care.
But what if a family member can handle the nights, but they absolutely have to go to an office during the day?
Then you look at community-based adult services, or CBAS. These are licensed daytime centers overseen jointly by the CDA and the DHCS.
Kind of like adult daycare.
Yes. Your parent goes to a vibrant center during the day. They receive meals, nursing oversight, physical therapy if needed, and social engagement. And then they come back home to you at night. It is a brilliant solution for working families.
There's also a program for care management at home, right? For people who just need help coordinating all these moving parts.
Yes. The Multipurpose Senior Services Program, or MSSP. It is coordinated through the CDA. It provides a dedicated care manager and a highly flexible set of services specifically designed for older adults who are at risk of needing a nursing home.
So they help you find resources.
Right. The goal is to help them safely age in place
Yep.
by modifying their home or arranging specific local services.
Here is where it gets really interesting, though. The final alternative on our map is a skilled nursing facility paid by Medi-Cal. And I want to talk about this because in so many family conversations, placing a parent in a nursing home is viewed as the ultimate failure.
It really is.
People say things like, I promised my dad I would never put him in a home. Why is that such a dangerous mindset to hold on to?
It is a dangerous mindset because it completely ignores clinical reality. We judge ourselves so harshly as caregivers, but a good skilled nursing facility provides essential, round-the-clock, highly professional medical care.
Exactly.
When a person's needs simply outgrow what an assisted living environment can safely handle, or what a daughter can safely manage in her own living room without destroying her own health, a nursing home is a legitimate and necessary option.
The waiver is an amazing tool, but it is not the only tool.
Exactly. Sometimes clinical care is the most loving choice you can make. It ensures they get the exact medical attention they need, and it allows you to step back from being a stressed out medical provider and just go back to being their child.
That is such an important point because navigating all of these backup plans, dealing with wait lists, scheduling clinical assessments, it takes a massive emotional toll. And usually the person absorbing all of that stress is the person listening to this deep dive right now.
Statistically, you are most likely the daughter. You are working a full-time job, you are managing your own household, and you are doing all of this incredible, complex care coordination on top of everything else.
It is a lot.
It is so much. And honestly, you probably feel deeply guilty no matter what choice you make.
It is honestly like being a project manager who has just been handed a massive commercial construction project, except you have no blueprint, you have no budget, and the construction site is currently on fire.
That is the perfect analogy.
We want to be incredibly clear with you. You did not cause this situation. Mm-hmm. Your parent aging is not a failure. And the fact that you cannot personally provide 24-hour hands-on physical care in your own home is not a character flaw.
The system does not require you to be a perfect saint. It just requires you to be persistent.
Huh.
Asking for help is not giving up on your parent. Applying for the waiver does not mean you are abandoning them.
Right.
It means you're using the exact system that was purposefully built for this specific crisis.
And it is okay to feel completely overwhelmed by the bureaucracy of it all. The acronyms alone are exhausting.
You are allowed to feel two completely opposing things at exactly the same time. You can love your parent deeply, more than anything in the world, and you can also feel a profound sense of relief at the idea of them finally being somewhere safe, managed by professionals, so you can just go to sleep.
That is so true.
Both of those feelings are entirely valid.
Knowing you are not alone in this is deeply important, but you also need concrete, actionable steps so you can finally close your laptop tonight and rest. As editors for California Care Compass, we always end with our checklist.
The what to do this week action plan.
Exactly. So here is your plan. First, confirm your parents' medical status.
Yes. Verify that they currently have full scope Medi-Cal. If they do, you are ready to move forward. If they do not, start that application with your county immediately. Do not wait.
Second, go to the DHCS website. Find the list of care coordination agencies for your specific county. Pick up the phone, call them, and use the exact phrase, assisted living waiver.
Right. Do not just ask for general senior help. Ask for the waiver by name so they route you to the right department.
Third, start gathering the medical paperwork. You will need recent hospital discharge summaries, a current and accurate medication list, and any recent functional assessments from their primary care doctor.
Having that stack of papers ready significantly speeds up the clinical assessment process.
Fourth, look at the list of enrolled facilities on the department's website. Find three or four near you, go tour them, and remember, you are interviewing them.
Yes, ask them directly how many waiver residents they currently have and how the billing process has gone for those families. You want a facility that actually knows how to navigate the state billing system.
Fifth, sit down with your family and write out your 90-day bridge plan. Assume the wait list will take time. Look at the alternatives map.
Decide if you are using in-home supportive services or daytime centers to patch together the next 3 months. Write the plan down. It does not have to be permanent. It just has to get you through the immediate future.
Finally, use the companion guide on our site. Just go to californiacarecompass.com and search assisted living waiver. Use it as your written reference manual while you make these calls so you do not have to memorize every single acronym we talked about today.
As we close, I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder. We have talked extensively about how this waiver system is actively designed to keep people out of nursing homes because community living is better for everyone.
Yeah.
But consider the future. If this is the preferred model, how might our physical communities transform in the next 10 years? As millions of families demand these middle step solutions, will we see assisted living integrated directly into our suburban neighborhoods, replacing those isolated facilities on the outskirts of town?
Wow.
It forces us to imagine a society that actually builds physical space for aging rather than hiding it away.
It is an incredible thing to think about as you look out your kitchen window tonight. The hospital hallways, the late night panic, the endless search results. It is terrifying. But remember that heavy door we talked about at the beginning. You know exactly what is behind it now. You are not behind. You are right on time. And tomorrow, you have the exact knowledge you need to take the very first step.